Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is William Cohen, a former senior Wall Street investment banker for 17 years at Lazard Frere & Company, Merrill Lynch, and J.P. Morgan Chase, as well as a New York Times bestselling author whose books include Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World. And his latest book is The Last Tycoons, A Secret History of Lazard Frere & Company. And he is a special correspondent at Vanity Fair and writes a biweekly opinion column in the New York Times. And his latest book is Why Wall Street Matters. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Cohen.
Thank you for having me, Ian, as always.
Well, thank you. Bill, I've been trying to follow this 666 Fifth Avenue story for some time. Obviously, back in 2007, Jared Kushner, who wanted to impress Ivanka Trump, he bought a newspaper and he bought the most expensive piece of real estate in New York, trying to sort of establish a foothold as a Manhattan real estate tycoon, I guess to impress his future father-in-law, since basically the Kushner's business was in New Jersey. So he bought this 666 Fifth Avenue for $1.8 billion in 2007. Then shortly thereafter, you had the Wall Street crash, and it's basically been underwater ever since. And there's a $1.4 billion mortgage due in February of next year. And then suddenly they get rescued. It turns out that this company, Brookfield, that's largely owned by the Qataris, they have put up paid up front $1.1 billion in upfront rent on a 99-year lease. So let's start with that. That's pretty unusual, isn't it, to pay everything in front? What do they get for that $1.1 billion?
Well, I think what's really going on is they've bought the building for $1.1 billion, just like, say, I bought my co-op apartment in New York and got a 99-year lease to live in it. So basically, they've bought this building for $1.1 billion. The Kushners were able to make that deal in part because they had reached another deal with Steve Roth at Vornado to buy his 49% stake in the building for something like $125 million. So then they were able to convey the full ownership of the building to Brookfield. And I guess as part of this as well, it's not completely clear, they've renegotiated the mortgage so that that $1.4 billion that was due is now refinanced out and pushed out. And so essentially, if one reads between the lines of all of this, the Kushners are out. They were literally rescued from what surely would have been a loss of their equity investment, clearly a default on the mortgage of $1.4 billion that they wouldn't have been able to pay because the building is worth considerably less than that. And for whatever reason, the Qataris, through Brookfield, which is a publicly traded company based in Canada that owns all sorts of other buildings in Manhattan, is now going to own this building for 99 years, and which is generally longer than most people's lifetimes, and are going to try to reposition it in the marketplace and make a go of it.
But do you think this would be happening at all if Jared Kushner were not a special assistant to the President of the United States? I mean, from his position in the White House, he's already tried to get the Chinese to bail him out from this building. Then he went to the Qataris. He went to Hamid Jassim bin Al-Thani, the country's former prime minister and a member of the ruling family. Of course, prior to that, he went to Anbang, the giant Chinese insurance company. There's a great deal of reporting. BBC's Paul Wood and others have pointed out that there's a real possibility that Jared Kushner used his position as a Middle East envoy of the White House in conjunction with MBZ in the Emirates and MBS, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, to basically lean on the Qataris and say, you know, give us, I believe he asked for $500 million, and they refused. And then shortly thereafter, the Saudis and the Emiratis began a blockade. So it's not that difficult to put two and two together. Apparently, both General Mattis and Secretary of State at the time, Tillerson, were blindsided by this, and the White House didn't even realize that the biggest American base in the Middle East or in the Gulf is in Qatar. So let me just go back to the initial question. I know it's been a long one. Would any of this be happening if this guy wasn't didn't have the kind of clout of being in the White House?
So, of course, that's, you know, virtually impossible to know unless one were to have a conversation with Jared, which is clearly not forthcoming. I think that they are likely to be quite closely linked, however. It's kind of a twofer for Brookfield in the sense that by doing this, they have curried favor in a big way with the White House and with parts of the White House that aren't going anywhere. I mean, Jared is, even if Jared and Ivanka return to New York, is something they will by the end of the year. I mean, he's, you know, Donald Trump is still Jared's father-in-law, and Ivanka is still, Donald Trump is still Ivanka's father. So there's no question that part of the calculus here was to try to impress slash win access to curry favor with the Trump administration for as long as it lasts. But I think, you know, we're talking about a fair amount of money here, too. So, you know, more than $1 billion. Publicly traded companies do not, you know, invest that $1 billion, at least in this country, if they don't also believe there's a decent business deal attached to it. Look, you know, 66 Fifth Avenue is, you know, primo location on Fifth Avenue at around 52nd and 53rd Streets. It's definitely a bit of a dowager. It's old. It hasn't been updated, modernized, which many of the office buildings in Midtown Manhattan have been modernized. So there, it's also has a lot of tenancy unoccupied. It's got a lobby that's kind of tired. It is also, I believe, Ian, a real seriously good business opportunity for Brookfield Asset Management to redevelop this business, to redo the lobby, to put in new elevators, to tenant up the building, to get new retail tenants in the ground floor areas. All of that, I think, presents Brookfield with a business opportunity that they believe they can make money on, or else they wouldn't have done it. So that's why I say I think it's a twofer. I think they probably, with a little skill, they are skilled. You know, they've revitalized the old World Financial Center after down, you know, which is where Merrill Lynch and Dow Jones used to be, right next to the World Trade Center after 9/11. They bought that property, have completely revitalized that whole area and that whole project to their credit. So I do think they know what they're doing with real estate in Manhattan, and I suspect they believe they can make a real go of it. At the same time, they are also have successfully bailed out the Kushner family of by far its largest and most disastrous real estate project, where they tried to become bigwigs by crossing the river from New Jersey into Manhattan. And this will definitely give them another lease on life. They're doing projects in Brooklyn. They're trying to buy a cooperative apartment on Park Avenue and redevelop that into an office building. So these people are on the move. They are by no means out of business, and this absolutely saved them. And I'm sure they'll have a long memory about this. They seem to have a long memory about everything, those Kushners.
And again, I'm speaking with William Cohen, who's a former senior Wall Street investment banker for 17 years at Lazard Frere & Company, Merrill Lynch and J.P. Morgan Chase, as well as a New York Times bestselling author whose books include Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World, and House of Cards, A Tale of Hubris and Wretched Excess on Wall Street. He's a special correspondent at Vanity Fair and writes a biweekly opinion column in the New York Times, and his latest book is Why Wall Street Matters. So the father, of course, when you mentioned the Kushners, I guess you can't be more hard-nosed than what the father did with his own brother-in-law, who was married to his sister. Apparently there was some family squabble over some investments or other or trust.
That's
I don't
putting
know.
Putting it politely, yes.
Yeah, and what Charles Kushner did was he hired a hooker and set up the brother-in-law in a sting, and then tried to blackmail his own sister with a video of her husband cavorting with a hooker that Charles Kushner had hired. Of course, the credit of Kushner's sister, she told the brother to go to hell, and he ended up in jail. And by the way, he was put in jail by Governor Chris Christie, who was then the U.S. attorney in New Jersey. So that's not exactly a I mean,
no. These are hard-nosed business people. They are like Trump himself. I think they are equally as ruthless. I think that's why this is sort of a good match for the family. Obviously, Ivanka thought so too. She is willing to convert to Orthodox Judaism to marry Jared. These are deal doers. They are ruthless. They will, stop at nothing, and not unlike Donald Trump himself. So I see it all as a piece, frankly, and that's why I also believe there's little doubt that this is a very sophisticated and on one hand, and also not so sophisticated effort to curry favor with the White House, which, frankly, in this environment where every company or corporate CEO or world famous basketball player or CNN host is one tweet away from the president's barbs on Twitter, is probably a good position to be in rather than being on the other side of him.
Well, we'll just
it's a shame it's come to this, but
sure.
That's where we are.
Well, we just have to watch and see whether the Qataris are rewarded by having the embargo lifted. Then I think you could connect the dots
pretty easily.
But do you think that Jared is in fact the kind of inheritor here? It seems like reports indicate that one, Donald Trump is very nervous and very agitated that his son, Donald Trump Jr., may be indicted by Special Counsel Mueller, but that he has the Trump sort of, his namesake, his Donald Jr., he considers a bit of a loser, I guess, to use Trump's word. And whereas Jared may well be the inheritor of the empire along with his wife. How do you see it?
Well, certainly he's the heir apparent to the Kushner companies. His brother Josh is a venture capitalist and is sort of distancing himself from the family's political aspirations and interests. He's, of course, just agreed to marry his supermodel girlfriend. So I don't see Josh being the heir apparent of the Kushner company. I see clearly Jared being the heir apparent. I mean, I think the idea is if they were to, return to New York at the end of the year, and, whether they do that or not, it always seems to fluctuate, depending on who's up and who's down in the administration. But, he would clearly is going to take over the real estate business from his father when he gets done in the White House. Whether or not that ends up resulting in a some sort of global merger with the Trump Organization. Now, that would certainly be something, and something I hadn't contemplated before. But you know, I see him very much a cut above than Donald's two sons. One of whom you say, as you say, Don Jr., who I've heard, you know, Mueller has already issued unsealed. Sealed indictments for him. I don't know whether that's true or not. You know, Eric is frankly not up to the task, as has been portrayed repeatedly on Saturday Night Live. So, I mean, I could possibly see a merger between the Trump Organization and the Kushner Organization at some point down the road, with Jared leading the whole charge. I don't feel like that whole family is going to be spending a whole lot much more time in Washington, you know, whether it's a few years or less. You know, I think it seems to me their time is coming to the end. But you know, I could be wrong. Many of us were very wrong about his election in the first place. But I think that people are coming to the realization that things have gotten a little bit out of hand at this point. So if and when he returns to New York, I could absolutely see him returning to his family business, and then one day having a merger of the families as well as the family businesses.
Well, William Cohen, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me in.
Thank you. And again, I've been speaking with William Cohen, as a former senior Wall Street investment banker for 17 years at Lazard, Frere and Company, Merrill Lynch and J.P. Morgan Chase, as well as a New York Times bestselling author whose books include Money and Power, How Goldman Sachs Came to Rule the World, and House of Cards, A Tale of Hubris and Wretched Excess on Wall Street. He is a special correspondent at Vanity Fair and writes the biweekly opinion column in the New York Times. And his latest book is Why Wall Street Matters. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. We can contact me and scroll down the right-hand side and sign up for iTunes podcast. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.